Thanks very much, Mark. Appreciate that. Oh, well, we will be continuing our series this morning on God's truth. How's that, Joel?
Hello. That's better. Is that all right? Okay. Everybody hear me clearly? All right, fantastic, good.
Well, as Mark alluded to, we were praying in the week, and I really feel that God really wants to speak to you this morning. I hope I can keep up with him and do him justice. But I know that God wants to speak to your heart. I've spent a long time preparing, and it feels like a complete mess in my head. But I have the full assurance that God will speak to your heart this morning, regardless of how I deliver it. But it would be nice if I wasn't boring, wouldn't it? Okay. This morning, I would like to talk to you. The title I've given today's sermon is Antiseptic for the Heart. Antiseptic for the Heart. I want to talk about something that can be really, really tough. It can be a really, really tough, difficult thing in our lives. And that's forgiveness. Okay? And I don't take it lightly. I know that there's people here who've been through some really tough things, and I don't know how you feel. That's the truth, but I know what the answer is. And that's what I want to preach this morning. Okay, so bear with me. I want to start with an illustration. And this illustration is of a child. Many of us have children. a bit lower. Sorry about that, guys. Right, there we go. Right, so talk about this child. Now, kids invariably run around a lot, I want you to imagine that a child has just gashed their leg or their foot really badly on an old bit of rusty metal. Real, real rusty. It's a big gash. Okay? Now, what will the kid do? What will the kid do? They'll go, ah! They'll cry, won't they? Anyone knew that? And they'll scream and they'll say, it hurts, mummy. I want my mummy. Mummy, where are you? And sometimes they'll get daddy and they'll go, no, I want mummy. Okay. Instinctively, you'll move towards them and you'll say, right, where is it? Let me have a look. And do you know what the instinct of a child will be at this moment? Do you know what they'll say? No, you can't touch it. That's what they'll say, won't they? No, you can't touch it. Go away. And they'll actually physically turn away from you and they'll put their hands in front of it, won't they? And they'll cover it up like that. You can't touch it. But I'm a first aider at work. I've been a first aider for 10 years. You probably don't want to get me as a first aider. I'm probably quite useless, but I'm a first aider. And the thing that you know is this gash on your foot, we need to deal with it. Because if we don't deal with it, it's going to get worse. Okay? And what I'm more worried about is not what's going to happen right now in the short term, but I'm worried about the long-term effects. Okay? What I'm worried about is that cut that you have on your leg getting infected. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about that rust getting in your bloodstream. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about, you know, you're getting gangrene and then we have to chop your foot off. Or maybe I'm getting a bit far here, but you get what I'm saying, right? It's going to hurt a little. It's going to sting. We need to deal with it now. And this is... So what you do is you have a conversation with the child, don't you? Well, maybe you should... And you say, well, let me just have a look. Can I at least have a look? And eventually they, all right, you can have a look. And then what we know that we've got to do is we've got to clean that cut. It's got to be clean. We've got to get all of the debris out. We've got to get all the dirt out of it. We've got to clean it completely. And then after that, then we're going to put plaster on it. I just want to encourage you. Every single person has to deal with forgiveness. Every single Christian is going to have to deal with forgiveness in their own life, or unforgiveness. No one's exempt. And not just once, but lots of times. Because there's other people. and there's other people in our lives. And none of them are perfect. And there's going to be situations. And there's going to be circumstances that come that cause us to have to deal with them. Deal with it and deal with forgiveness. I want to encourage you this morning. I want us to know why. Why we need to forgive. And two, how do I forgive? And three, how do I identify if there's something in my life that I need to forgive someone for? So these are going to be the things that I'll talk about this morning. now, I realise it might sting a little this morning, and I'm sorry for that, but I really want you to be able to move forward with God. And so I'm prepared to to dish out a little bit of stinging. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's find out, why do I need to forgive then? You don't know what I've been through, Pat. I've been through a lot. Why do I need to forgive? Well, let's find out. Let's find out. The main reason we need to forgive, and this is the most important thing, okay, the main reason we need to forgive is because God wants us to. That's it. God wants you to. And if you want to move forward in your relationship with God, you're going to have to. Because it's nigh on impossible to move forward with God and harbour unforgiveness. And I'm talking about stuff that God's revealed to you. There's going to be times where new things come up, and there's going to be times when you're working through things, and I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about unforgiveness. God's whole plan, His whole purpose, His whole personality is to be forgiving. And bring you back into relationship. Forgiveness brings you back into relationship. It brings you back into relationship with God. It brings you back into relationship with others. Those people have wronged you. But also it affects other relationships that you have. If you can work through that forgiveness with this one, it's going to affect your family as well. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. That God's way is the perfect way, and He wants you to forgive. Amen. Well, let's have a little look at it. We're going to open our Bibles into Matthew. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. If you'd like to follow along. It says, Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Now, Peter, the main man, the main disciple, Peter, he says to Peter comes to Jesus and asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me. And then he makes a suggestion. He says, up to 7 times? Now, I get the feeling that Peter's probably forgiven someone 6 times already at this point. And he's thinking, right. And Jesus says this. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That's a lot of times. And he says, right, well, let me tell you a parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. I just want to point out, 10,000 talents. I'm reliably informed that's 17 years' wages. 17 years' wages. It's not really paybackable. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, that's significantly less than what we talked about before. He grabbed him and began to choke him. He grabbed him by the throat. He said, pay back what you owe, he demanded. The fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. We've heard that before, haven't we? And I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and he said, you wicked servant. I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on the fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Now, what we have to understand is how much God has forgiven us. He's forgiven us everything. There is no way that we could pay back the penalty of what we owe God as an individual. There's no way that you can do enough right stuff to sort out the wrong stuff that you've done in your life. You can't work it off. There was no way of working off those 17 years. And I'm telling you right now, for the things that you've done in your own heart, there's no way of working it off. But yet Jesus came and said, let me take the price. And he died on the cross for our sins. And God let him. Not because he's a sadist and wanted to watch his son die, but because that was the only way that you and I could be forgiven. And that was the only way that the debt could be paid. And yet, when we have unforgiveness harboured in our heart, what we're saying is, God, I'm happy for you to forgive me, but I won't extend the same mercy to others. And that is one of the reasons that we need to really just think about, why do I need to forgive? And that's one of them. This is Matthew 26, 27 to 29. What does Jesus say? He says, let's look it up. Matthew 26, if you want to turn in your Bibles. It's the Last Supper. Jesus with the disciples. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I just want you to be aware that Jesus' blood is crying forgiveness, and he's poured it out on you, and it's what washes away all your sin. And you must extend it to others. It's the only way that God can get any glory out of you. It's the only way that people can see what God is really like, is if Jesus will be evident in your life. Now, when you forgive somebody else, the evidence of Jesus is available for people to see. Does that make sense? Sorry, I've said that makes sense. That's my word that I'm just trying to get rid of. And this is what I love about the forgiveness of God. It's different to other levels of forgiveness. It's on a whole different playing field. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. That's the word of the Lord. Can be hard for us to accept sometimes that God will actually do that, because we're not like that. You ever had an argument with someone and they brought up what you did last year? We do it, don't we? So, I thought we were past that. Obviously we're not. Hebrews 8:12, for I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. That's the truth. I want to tell you a little story about a vicar. He was a very upright vicar, good man, good congregation. But he'd done something when he was 15 that was very, very ashamed of, and he'd asked for forgiveness, but he had real trouble accepting this forgiveness. And so he knew what was the Bible said, and he understood about forgiveness and that God forgiven him, but he just couldn't accept it and he couldn't feel forgiven. And anyway, he had this woman in his church, and she would always say that God spoke to her in dreams and would tell her stuff, and he was very dubious about this. He thought, oh, here we go. And so after one time when she was telling him about something that God had told her in her dreams, he said, well... He said, well, next time Jesus is speaking to you in your dreams, I want you to ask him what I did when I was 15 and see if he tells you. Okay, so he's obviously... As anyway, he saw this woman next week, and he said, well, did you speak to Jesus in your dreams? And she said, yes. And he said, did he tell you what I did? And the woman said, well, he said he couldn't remember. Because once Jesus forgives, he puts it out. It's gone. It's not in the memory banks of God. He lets it go completely. And this is the forgiveness that we can have in him. You can be completely free of the past. Now, we just have to remember, I don't deserve this forgiveness. This person who's done this to me doesn't deserve this forgiveness, but I'm going to give it anyway, because that's what Jesus did for me. And I just want them to experience a little bit of the love of Jesus Christ. If we want to move forward in our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with God, we're going to have to forgive. Okay. Why should I forgive? Now we had, for God's sake, that's why you should forgive. But there's more. There's much, much more to forgiveness and positive result of forgiveness. You need to forgive for your own sake. For you. And this is something I really want to just dig into a little bit. Because a lot of unforgiveness in our hearts comes from... I wrote it down. I didn't want to get this wrong. Pain that has been done to us, things that have happened to us that just for some reason we haven't been able to deal with, and hurt in our hearts that we just haven't been able to resolve, and it's just there, and maybe we've just covered it up, just put a big old plaster over the top of it and said, no, no one's touching this, I don't know how to deal with it, I can't deal with it, I just want to put it to the back of my mind and the back of my heart, and I just want to forget about it. That hurt, those things that those people did, and we just leave it there. I don't blame you for doing that. Some stuff is just so hard to deal with. What I want to share with you is why that might not be good for you. I just want to share with you a picture of my garden. I'm not going to put a picture up. Many of you have seen my garden. It's maybe stained on your memories. It's the most disgusting thing ever. But stinging nettles regularly grow up in my garden. Ruth will testify. She's wasted time in my garden, haven't you? Getting rid of the stinging nettles. And they just grow back. If you don't get the root of them, they just grow back. That's the truth. And if we don't deal with the root of the pain in our lives, things are going to grow, problems are going to grow back. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger in our hearts the longer we leave them. They get bigger and bigger. And you know what? Sometimes we think, well, just you know what? I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to never talk about it again. People do that. I'm never going to talk about it again. No one's allowed to talk about it. We're going to put it away. And I've tried that in my garden. I put 6 tons of hardcore bricks in bags on top of where the stinging nettles used to grow. And I thought, I have some of that. Look at Chris and Mark. They were like, yeah, we put an extra 3 tons on there as well. I thought, that'll stop them growing. Have some of that. But do you know what? That root of stinging nettle, that root of pain in our hearts is still there. You might have something clamping it down. But do you know what happens? Those roots, they just find a way, don't they? They just reroot themselves. And they pop up over here somewhere else. And they look a little bit different. But they're the same thing. And they come from the same root. They come from the same hurt that hasn't been dealt with. And guess what? I've now got 6 tons of hardcore surrounded by massive stinging nettles. Looks even worse. But the truth is, when we say, look, I can't forgive, I won't forgive, and you might think to yourself, well, I'm not going to let that person have my forgiveness because they don't deserve it. I'm going to hold something on them. The truth is, what happens is you poison yourself. It's like saying, I'm going to get you, glug, glug, drink the poison yourself. What are you doing? But we do it. And that poison doesn't just take effect straight away. It takes time and it works through your whole system. And it can bring you to an absolute halt in your life. It can bring you to an absolute halt. Now, what are the... Now, this is what I think the devil's like. He's like, right, I'm going to hurt these people. And the reason I'm going to hurt them isn't because I care about hurt. It's because I want to get a foothold in their life. I want to own them. Does that make sense? And when they won't forgive, I'll have a foothold in the door of their hearts. And then I can pour in any old rubbish I want till I own them. That's how he thinks. And when we won't forgive, we open up a hole in our hearts that he can just pour in whatever he likes and poison you with all sorts of rubbish. Do you know what he'll fill you up with? Bitterness. He'll turn it into hatred. Anger. These are the fruits of his poison. These are the fruits of his stinging nettles. Anger. And he wants control. He's not like Jesus. Jesus wants to let you choose. He just wants control. Does that make sense? Sorry, did it again. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about how it works. Fear grows. It's a perfect breeding ground for fear, unforgiveness, undealt with pain. So I'm not going there again. I'm not doing that again. I'm not opening myself up to people again. Not after what happened last time. And you're holding on. You're holding on. And you're denying yourself the goodness that God has set aside for you. The freedom in relationships that God has for you. You won't stretch out and take it because of the fear of things that have happened in the past. Because of unforgiveness. And you're going to have to forgive that person. Maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe they don't even want it. But you're going to have to forgive them in your own heart if you want to move forward. If you want to move forward with God, you're going to have to let it go. Somehow. I don't want to sound like I'm telling you off. I'm sorry if I come over a bit harsh sometimes. But I just know this is God's way. And I want to see people set free. That's my heart. I want to see you living in the freedom that Christ has for you. Now, we tend to do two things with all this pain and anger and this unforgiveness. We tend to do two things with it. Neither of them the right thing to do, but it's just a natural tendency. We all get caught up in it. We like to stuff it and we like to vent it. Because they're good ways of temporarily dealing with things, I suppose. They're not really good ways, but what we do is we stuff it, bury it. Don't want to deal with it. Put it aside. Cover it up. Still there. Roots still growing. But we tend to do that, to stuff it. And you see these people, and you become very closed off. I don't know if you ever found this. I won't open up to people anymore. That's a sign that there might be some unforgiveness in your life. I won't open up to people. I've got barriers up. People want to talk about a certain subject. Don't talk about that. People want to talk about a certain person. Oh, well, you don't know. And it's there. We can't always see it. Can't see the wood for the trees sometimes. But we stuff. And we vent. How about this? Now, I was talking about those roots travelling underground and they come up somewhere else as something else. And that we can vent like that, can't we? You ever had a conversation with someone and you said, oh, it could be about anything. Well, and you say, I think this about this. And they go, and they get, and you think, where did that come from? Did I do something wrong? And the truth is, you didn't do anything wrong. But someone is dealing with something, and they are venting. Because when you're full of unforgiveness, which really, at the root of it, is a total unhappiness in your life, a total sort of just unhappiness. You want to get rid of that. And what we think is, maybe I'll just pour that out onto somebody else. We don't do it in our minds straight away, but psychologically we go, I want to get rid of it. I want to, you know, and we stuff, and then go, and explode everywhere, don't we? And some of these things aren't dealt with. They're stuck underneath. And so we can pour out our cup of anger on others. We can spend time just, I don't know if you ever found this, but you just spend time just thinking about a certain person who winds you up. And you think, why am I sitting here thinking about this person who winds me up? This is the stupidest thing to do, but why am I doing it? And you just are. And as you're thinking about them, you'll get more and more wound up inside, and you'll think, oh, well, if that happened again, what I'd do is next time I'd do this. And you think, well, if they talk to me tomorrow, this is what I'm going to say if they say that. And you get, and you start to feel it bubble up inside you. Maybe it's just me. You get the red mist. That's what I like to call it, the red mist. Comes upon you. And you think, oh, I didn't ask for that. It just turned up. And we can be, you know, this venting and stuffing can get inverted as well. And you think, I don't want to hurt other people. But I'm still dealing with stuff. I hurt myself. I don't care. And you end up just not treating yourself the way you should treat yourself. I'm not. Do you know what I mean? And people harm themselves. You know? We can feel really down, and we can just fall into a almost like in our minds we can fall into a pit of oh, and it's just a symptom of not dealing with the deeper issue. Is there unforgiveness in your heart? Is there an undealt with hurt that you need to offer up to the Lord and say, Lord, help me reconcile this? Some people can be displaced. Ever shouted at your kids? Ever had a go at somebody else? And you know it wasn't their fault. And then later on you have to go, I'm really sorry, kids, I didn't mean to shout at you. It's just I've been having a bad day at work, or someone said something to me, or it happens, doesn't it? And the thing that I just want to encourage you is that in Christ you can be 100% free. I don't want to tell, oh, I could say, oh, it's going to be a long journey. You're always going to be broken. You're never going to be here. I'll tell you what, if you allow Jesus to fully work in your heart, you can be free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you can be free. And I'm not saying that because I've got tons and tons of experience of really difficult things that happen in my life. But I'm saying that because I see the evidence of Jesus Christ in others. I've seen people who can forgive, and I'll tell you what, they're the most happy people walking. They walk with a lightness in their life. They're not carrying burdens. What does Jesus say? He says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy, and my yoke is light. And Jesus is saying, take on forgiveness. Yeah, all right, it's a stinging challenge. But it's a lot lighter than dealing with all that unforgiveness, I'll tell you that for nothing. And Jesus dealt with it, didn't he? Jesus is the master of forgiveness. He's on a mission for forgiveness. He's the king of forgiving. And he is in you. Therefore, you can be the king of forgiveness. You can be the owner of forgiveness. You can dish out forgiveness left, right and centre if you want, because that's what Jesus did. People were asking for healing and Jesus would give them forgiveness first. They say, oh, I'm crippled. I'll forgive you. Because Jesus is on that mission. Your body's not going to last forever. Your pain's not going to last forever, I'll tell you that much. But your forgiveness will give you an eternity. And I just love Jesus when he's on the cross. And what does he say? He says, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. But what a heart, eh? Not harbouring anything, not holding on to anything. A total lightness in his spirit, even at that point of ultimate heaviness. He's not holding on to anything in his heart. And he is in you, and you can have that power to forgive. Okay? The third reason to forgive is it will have a life-changing effect on those around you. If you can get hold of forgiveness, it will affect your wife. If you can get hold of forgiveness, it will affect your kids. It will affect the people in your road, in your church. It will affect the people in your workplace. It will affect the person who doesn't even want forgiveness if you forgive them. It will change their life. It has to. Because Jesus is Jesus. And Jesus always changes lives. And I think sometimes we don't realise the effect that we're having on our family unit when we won't forgive. Things get sour. And I've talked about the side effects. Side effects normally affect the people nearest to you. And I just want to encourage you that if you're willing to let things go with the Lord this morning, that there'll be a freshness of life in your family. Forgiveness leads to a returning of joy in your life. Pete talked about it last week, didn't he? He talked about that rail tracks, pain and joy running parallel. Maybe you're just on the pain track. There's another track available for you of joy. And forgiveness is the bridge between the two tracks. Your peace will return to you. It's so hard to have peace when you can't even get away from your own thoughts. The problem with unforgiveness is it attacks you in your thoughts, in your alone times. When you try and get in the presence of God, it just sits in front in the way and stops you. And yet peace is, if you will just do it, there's a peace. And it might not come in 5 seconds, it might do. But it will come. Healing comes. If you check Jesus out, when he forgives people, healing follows. There's a pattern there in the Bible. It just follows. And if you are willing to pour out forgiveness on others, healing will follow. Your own healing, their healing. And I want to tell you that the side effects of unforgiveness will cease. They might not cease on day one, but they will cease. The uncontrollable anger will subside. The red mist. The depression. Those things. In the name of Jesus, they will go. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. That if you would make forgiveness a priority, they will go. In the name of Jesus. The negative thinking. And being able to be chained to the past. And to those memories. You being chained to them. Those chains will be broken. You can be a new person. And walk forward in a new freedom. When you're chained, you can't move forward. And Jesus wants you to move forward in what he's got for you so badly. Okay, I just want to move on now. All right, Pat, we get the picture. You banged on long enough. How do I do it then? It's not that easy. Sometimes I feel like I understand what you're saying, but it's not. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've had to deal with. You don't even know how hard it was just to get here this morning. And now you're asking me to do so much. And I just want to say to you, I don't know. And I just want to share with you some of the truths of the Bible that may help you to move forward into forgiveness. Okay? It might be just a one moment in time where you can just let it all go. But what you might find is that you forgive and things come back, and then you have to forgive again, and then things come back. And I just want to give you some really solid practical steps that will help you move forward in forgiveness. I'm going to try and use the analogy of the kid with the cut leg as an analogy for this. So the first thing is, and just put yourself in the position of the child, the first thing you need to do is to shout out and let people know that there's something wrong. And that could be really hard to do. How many people you seen? You all right? Yeah, I'm fine. You all right today? Yeah, no, I'm all right. Yeah, no, yeah. You seen the football? We can be like that, can't we? And yet, if we're going to move forward with God, we can't hide it under a rock or 6 tons of hardcore. We can't hide it. We're going to have to bring it to the surface. So a little kid shouts, "Mummy, mummy, I've hurt myself." Ah! And it's okay to do that. Don't be afraid of your emotions. It's all right to cry. It's all right to just let it out. It's all right to be... It's all right. It says, be angry and do not sin. It's all right to be angry. It's all right to feel angry about what happened to you. So I've put that down as find a parent. Find a first aider. Let somebody know. And that somebody, I'll tell you what, that's Jesus Christ. He knows all about pain. And he knows all about what you've been through. No one... He wasn't, you know, everybody let him down. Everybody. Not one. Everybody let him down. He knows how it feels. He knows how it feels to be abused, lied about. He knows all these things. Go to him. Okay. Second thing I put down is you need to start talking to the first aider about what's happened to your cut foot. And that is, you need to say, well, it's all right to say, look, don't touch it. I don't want you to touch it right now. But say that to God. Say, God, look, I'm in real pain here. I'm in real pain here. I just can't forgive. Say that to him. He's all right about you saying that to him. You don't have to like pretend to be all perfect with God. You can just be yourself. And you can say, look, God, I don't have the strength to forgive. I don't want you to touch it. But I see it's here. I know I need to deal with it. I just start a conversation. Because a lot of the time, first aiders are really good. And one of the things you're trained as a first aider is just to start finding out information so you can help the person. And, you know, just praying with God and just saying, God, this is where I'm up to. I can't. I'm unwilling at the moment, but please help me. God then has an opportunity to speak to you that he didn't have before. He's then got the opportunity, because he's in a conversation with you, to address it and bring truth into your life. Okay, now this is a toughie. Okay. Now you can go up for prayer and receive prayer, and you can be like, well, I've prayed for this forgiveness thing and I just don't feel like it's moving forward. If you want to see it move forward in an accelerated way, forgiveness and dealing with the pain, you need to start praying for the person who has hurt you. That's a tough one, right? You need to start praying for the person. And you might start praying like this on the first day. God, I hate this person. That's all right. That's where you're starting at. That's fine. At least it's honest. But as you spend time in God's presence praying for it, your prayers will change. I'll tell you what, someone annoyed me. really annoyed me. And you know, I've got them on Facebook. And they really annoyed me. Do you know those type of people? And sometimes you have a little flick through Facebook and you think to yourself, oh, here we go. You know, and you put your barriers up against their Facebook. And do you know what? I started praying for this person because they annoyed me, and I obviously realised that there was some unforgiveness in my heart towards them. I didn't think they deserved the forgiveness. But I started praying for them, and you know, God changed my heart. And I thought, I'm going to look at Facebook just to see if they're doing all right. And I realised that my heart had been changed because I started to pray for them. And it's not easy, but it will, I'll tell you what, all those side effects of unforgiveness, all that anger and all those sort of feelings that you can't control, and the downward spiral, if you start praying for that person, I'll tell you, those side effects will stop a lot quicker. Let's have a little look at seeing if I'm just making that one up, or it is in the Bible. It's in Matthew. We've been in Matthew a lot today, so let's go to Matthew 5, verse 44. Jesus says this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. Tough one. But I tell you what, it's the antiseptic for your cut on your leg. Okay. Let's move on to the next one. Practically, you can do stuff. Okay? Now your natural nature is going to say, I'm not helping them. That's what your nature is going to say. Your natural man is going to say, I'm going to stand by and watch them fail. And when I see their Facebook says that they've hurt their leg or whatever, I'm going to say, well, that's what you get. But that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, no, that's not how you're going to, that's not how forgiveness works. So I'm going to suggest this to you. Do good for them, practically. When you're chatting to them, be nice. You don't know what the effects of it's going to be. Help them out. Imagine that. Someone's been well out of order to you and you help them out. What's that going to do to them? It's going to break down their barriers pretty fast. And it will bring healing to your relationship with them. Let's have a look. Proverbs 26. Have I got the wrong one? It just doesn't look right. No, I'm in the wrong one. Oh, no, I'm in the wrong one. Right, well, I've got that completely wrong, so let's just ignore that. It essentially says, it's the wrong verse, so don't worry about it. It says, do good to your enemies. And it says it heaps hot coals on their head. You know the one? Someone else will find it and say, I know what it actually is, Pat. Do good to your enemies. And a lot of the time I think, ha, do you know what? I don't like them. I want to heap up some hot coals on their head. I'm going to be nice to them. But mainly because I want to get them. But that's not what God means by heaping up hot coals on their head. What he means is his love will be poured out on them. And it might cause them actually to get wound up. Because they can't deal with it. But that's okay, because God will bring them closer to himself through his love. He's going to pour out his love on them. Okay? The last point I put, be aware healing sometimes can take time. God can do it in an instant sometimes as well, though. But don't do it for your healing. Do it because God wants you to do it. And when God gives you the victory, this is my other last practical tip. When God gives you the victory in forgiveness, shout about it. Let people know. Because there's loads of other people out there dealing with unforgiveness, and they don't know the positive results. Share it. And as you share it, you'll be cementing it in your... Because sometimes we're like, oh, I didn't realise I had forgiven. But I have. You know? I just think that's a great way. So, right, well, that's the end of what I've got to say today. I really believe the Lord is here and he wants to help you. He loves you. He's not asking you to forgive on your own. He'll give you the strength through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit within you. And I want you to just take a little bit of time. I'm going to ask Mark to come up and lead us in a time of response. But what I want you to do is I just want you to... This is one of my other keys. I'm so sorry. The presence of God is something that allows us to identify unforgiveness. Because sometimes it's right there in front of our face and we can't see it. Just can't see it. You can't see the wood from the trees. But when we get in the presence of God, he reveals things to us. And don't be scared of him revealing stuff to you, because there's going to be people that you're going to need to forgive moving forward. They haven't even done anything to you yet, but they're going to. I just know what people are like. You know, so what we need to remember is that the presence of God, he will identify things in his presence. You know, you'll be like, oh. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes I find I want to enter into God's presence, and I just know that I haven't dealt with something, and I just know that I need to sort that out. And I say, look, Lord, I'm sorry for not forgiving. I'm sorry that I've held on to that. And so I just want us to have the opportunity, because I want to see people set free in this church. I want to see people receiving healing, and moving forward in their relationship with God. So much. I want it for myself. So much. And I want us to have the opportunity now to be able to do that together. Maybe we should enter his presence together and just see how he speaks to us. If you want prayer, I would love to pray for you and see you set free. I'm going to pass over to Mark.